John chapter 12, 8 verses of scripture. You've all heard this story. It's nothing new. But I want to kind of take it as a launching point into what I believe God is speaking to us today. It says this, it says, then, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead. Can you take 30 seconds and just thank God that Lazarus isn't dead anymore? I got time in this service, so let me just talk. Stop overlooking miracles this morning. Lazarus, that had been dead, is now alive and is sitting at a table. It is not time for the church to ignore that miracle. There, they made him supper. Anybody thankful for supper? Well, that gets some hand claps, amen? I'm just trying to see where I need to go this morning. But then Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him being Jesus. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and he wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and giving to the poor?" And I love John. I love that he would think it was right to put this in the Bible, because John calls out Judas in a heartbeat. He says this, he said, not that he cared for the poor. See, Judas wasn't worried about the money so they could bless other people, but instead he was a thief. And he had the money box, and he used to take what was put it in. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." If you will, go back to verse 3 just for a moment. At the end of verse 3, there's a phrase there that I have overlooked time and time again. But it jumped out to me about the fifth time that I read this scripture in preparation. It's really going to be the launching point today. Says this, and the house. Someone say the house. Someone say this house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Will you pray for me? Father, we're thankful today. Father, I'm thankful for this opportunity to stand behind your pulpit today and, Father, declare the word of the Lord. Father, I do not take it lightly, Father, for the message that you have given me to deliver. Father, I pray that you would anoint my lips. Father, let me say only the things that you would have me to say. Father, let me not speak in my own authority, but, Father, in the authority that is given to me by you today. Father, I pray, Father, for open ears today. Father, let not this word fall upon the deaf ears of your people, but, Father, I pray that they would open up their ears today, not to hear from me, but to hear from you today. Father, I praise you today, Father, and I give you all praise and all glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated in the house today. Listen, there's a little bit of foundation I have to lay here before we get to the good part. Amen. It's all really good. I'm just being honest. I'm so thankful today. Let me just say that. I thank God today that he gave me a cheerful message to preach. There are many times that I feel like I have to get up here and I got to preach some hard stuff, and today's not that day. If you leave mad at me, I don't know what to tell you today other than, I don't know. I just don't know. I really don't know. I'm not here to step on your toes today. If anything, I'm here to encourage you. But if you're like me, you can look back through your life and you can look at times of trouble and tribulation and say, man, God, you have really tested me. God, you have really tried me in your life. Is there anybody? You don't have to do anything crazy. Just wave your hand at me if you know that God has tested you over some seasons of your life. Amen. Now wave your hand at me if you enjoyed any of those seasons. Exactly. Amen. No one likes them. No one wants to go through those seasons of trouble. And I'll be honest with you, I've asked myself many times in those seasons, why, God? God, why would this happen? God, why would you do this? God, why would you do that? And I understand today that some people would tell you not to question God, and I'm not questioning his sovereignty, but he is a big enough God that he is not scared by my little why. He is not scared enough to say, well, don't ask me questions, Brandon. I just want to know. I'm not saying I'm not going to go where you say go, God. I just need to know why I go where I'm supposed to go. It's my personality. But God is not scared of that. Matter of fact, in these testing and our tryings are for a very specific part of our lives. And I think we all know this. But 1 Peter 1:6 says this, "In this you greatly rejoice, that now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it was tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, these testing and these trying times are not just for moments that God says, look, I need to test you and I need to try you, but they're really times to prepare you. When gold is refined, it is put in a furnace and heated to a certain temperature. Why? It is not because of any, it is because it is in that refinement process, it is in the heat of the fire that every impurity of that gold is released from the gold. Why do we have to go through testing? Why do we have to go through such hard times? It is the only way for God to remove the impurities of our life, the things, the obstacles that would cause us to hinder what he has for us in our life today. Let me give you some illustrations for this today as it relates to this church. Most of you know, if not, you should go through Next Step so you hear about the history of our church. But in 2017, the church sanctuary burned down. There was a beautiful sanctuary. They had just remodeled it several years before. It was a beautiful sanctuary, life center. Everything was great. Why would the building burn down? I'm not here to say that it was a divine thing, but I am here to say that what the devil meant for evil, God can use for good. What did that season of life teach this church and the people who attended? That it was not in a building. There was as great of a miracle, as great of a things that have happened in that building. It was never about the building. As a matter of fact, God knew what we did not, that that building was not going to hold the harvest that was coming today. You would not fit in that building today. So it was through the fire, it was through that refinement process that God began to align things for our purpose. See, even in our finances, I remember all the way back when I first come on staff, we were sitting there and we were having a staff meeting, and I don't know why I remember this so clearly, but I do. We were actually having staff meeting in the kitchen area over there. Why we were in the kitchen area, not upstairs, I don't know. Something was going on, I'm sure. But we were sitting there having staff meeting. Can we just thank God anymore? We ain't got to have staff meetings in kitchen areas. We got a conference room. Stop overlooking miracles. I'll preach to myself. Amen. I'm thankful that we have a conference room. I'm thankful that we need a bigger conference room. Look, I know some of y'all are so scared right now, but we'll get there. But we were faithful in our finances. I remember, and I forget exactly what was going on at that time, but we needed some financial stuff to line up, and Miss Rosa sat there, and she opened up a check that was, I think it was $10,000 right on the money. Why would I tell you that? Because it is in those moments that as a church, as a staff, as a lead pastor, we had to decide what we were going to do with that. Were we going to be wasteful? Were we going to go out and buy something that we may have wanted? Our live stream back then was not as good as it is now. We could have easily have just stewarded that money into all that. I'm thankful Brother Mark used to stream it by his phone, but I am so thankful today that we have three cameras. Amen. Can anyone just testify that God has brought us through some stuff? Stop overlooking miracles. I'm going to say that about 100 times a day until somebody catches it. But we were faithful in our finances, and I believe today that God would say, because we have been faithful in those moments, that he is going to unlock some finances for this church. I'm going to share something with you, and I didn't ask her if I could share this. I just asked for forgiveness instead of permission. But Rosa texted staff several weeks ago and said, I believe in $10 million is coming our way. There's at least one person that'll claim it, but the rest of the church is too scared because we don't think that we serve a God that can deliver a $10 million check in the room. But I serve a God who said that you have been faithful in the little things and I will make you the ruler of many. If he wants to give us a $10 million check, the check will be written. And I don't care if I got to scream to get you excited about it. If God says it, it cannot be denied. Because we put labels on it. We say there's no way that God could deliver $10 million. I don't know why I'm going here, but I'm going to go here. Maybe it won't come in one $10 million check, but I can count the amount of business owners that we have in this place. What if the oil that I'm about to talk about no longer just rests upon this church, but it would represent the 20, 25, 30 some odd entrepreneurs that we have in this building, and no longer will they operate in the favor of God, but they would begin to operate in the anointing of God, and their businesses would become million-dollar businesses. Just the tithes alone on that is a $10 million check. Do not limit my God. You have not because you ask not. Even in the year of COVID, God was teaching us a moment. God, really, Pastor Brandon, even during COVID, that was just the government trying to shut us down. And I'm not disagreeing with you. But again, what the enemy meant for evil, God was using for preparation. See, during the COVID season, it was not just about keeping our doors closed. Hear me, I understand that that is the attack of the enemy. The enemy was trying to shut the doors of this church. But let me remind you that that did not happen. But instead of the church doors closing, we were able to pivot and we were able to take church outside of these four walls. Why is that so important? Because I'm here today just to be bold enough to tell you there is a season coming in this church life that no longer will these four walls be able to contain what is coming. We're going to have to do parking lot ministry. We're going to have to do ministry through live stream. All these things that we learned in COVID was not for naught. It was for a season that we are entered into today. This testing of our patience, this testing of our time was not for vain today. Even the great flood of 2023 that I have put out of my memory as best as I could was still the moment that God was teaching us, is it okay? We had to move our students down to the Bryant High School auditorium just so they could have church. But what did that do for us? Now we know. I'm not saying we're going to have to use that building. I'm going to be honest with you. If anything, we're probably going to have to use their football field. The auditorium ain't going to fit it either. But we've realized and we've made connections and we know that it's possible. Why? Because he's already taken us through that season. See, I want to tell you something, and let me go ahead and get to the good part. The good news is today is that we are done with the season of testing. The season of testing and trying of your faith is over today. See, today we are walking in the anointing oil that has been broken. See, here in this story of the anointing at Bethany, if you read Mark's version of it, it was not that she poured out of this oil, but instead that she broke it over the head of Jesus. See, and as I begin to prepare this sermon and I begin to read and to pray and to look at things, I just kept seeing this image in my head of no longer of this vessel just simply pouring out of oil. See, from the beginning of time and at least from the book of Acts, there has been this continually pour of the Holy Spirit. There's been a continual pour from heaven of the anointing. But I believe in my spirit, and I can back this up with so many things. You just have to trust me and trust your pastor, because I'll tell you this, so I don't have to go 20 minutes to the other way. For the first time in forever, I've sat down with him to go over what I was preaching today. He's never asked me to do that, and I'm so thankful for that. But I've made a meeting to come sit down with our pastor because I did not want to say anything today that was out of line and is not according to the season that we're in. But what I want to tell you today is no longer is this oil just being poured out, but it has been broken. No longer is this going to be a slow pour of the anointing, but I see it in my spirit that this anointing oil vase has been broken and out of it comes rivers of anointing oil. Why does that matter today? Because it is that oil that fills this house with the fragrance. Why did we have seven salvations in the early service? It was not because we did our part. It was not because we sang the right songs. It was because the oil flows in this room, and it is that oil that is going going to change their lives. And I want to tell you this morning that the oil is no longer going to be slowly poured out over this house. It is going to be broken loose. It has been broken loose. Let me speak prophetically if you want me to. We are living in the overflow of the oil. The fragrance of the oil will be what is on this house. You will not be able to come in this room and leave the same way you came, because the fragrance will go with you. The anointing has broken loose in this place today. Why? Why did it break? Why? What has happened in this moment? See, we have been found faithful. We have been found faithful in God's eyes. And so because of that, he is going to allow us to operate at a level that we have never thought possible. Even now, I'm not criticizing you, but why can't some of you clap when I talk about a $10 million reward that's coming our way? Because we can't believe it in our minds. Can I tell you that's going to be the first of many miracles? I'll go ahead and get to where I'm going in just a minute, but if you can't believe that $10 million is coming, you're going to really have a hard time believing that 10 million people will begin to confess that Jesus is Lord and our Savior. You're going to have a hard time believing that 100 people will be healed of cancer if you can't believe that monetary value is in the King's hand today. See, I told you he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He created it all. If money is nothing to him, he can do it all because he is all today. See, I believe that the year of more is not just some cute phrase that Pastor came up with. When he casted vision for the year of more, it was not because it rhymed with 2024, and it's not because it was very marketable today. Those things are awesome that they are. But it was not the reason why. It was because he has already understood what God is doing in this season. And it is not just we're going to go through the mundane and have the mundane services, but we will have more salvations. We will have more healings. We will have more signs and wonders. We will have more of the divine. Why? Because it is prophesied, and today we claim it, that God is going to do more in our lives today. I believe. You say, Pastor Brandon, you really think he's going to do it? I do. I am crazy enough this morning to believe that my God can still open up blinded eyes. I am still crazy enough today to think that my God can still raise up the cripple. I am still crazy enough to say that my God can take the demon possessed and to set them free. You say, Pastor Brandon, are you serious? Yes, I do. How do I know it? Because he took us through that season too. You may be worried when it happens, but rest assured, you have nothing to worry about, because he has trained some of us on how to deal with it. And they will leave here differently with the fragrance of oil on their lives, because he took us through the preparation season. It's only scary if you don't know. But he has taken us small steps, so that way when we're operating in this season, no longer do we have to be worried. No longer do we have to have a meeting and say, how are we going to handle this? We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. And God has prepared us for every moment that is coming our way today. But besides all of that, and I believe it, if you hear me and you think that I'm pivoting, you have misunderstood me, because I believe in the signs and the wonders. I believe healings will take place. As a matter of fact, let me just go ahead and say this. I took the cigarettes that were here on the altar today, and I put them up on my shelf. Why? Because I think it's going to be the first of many. I believe that my office is probably going to get filled with wheelchairs. My office is going to be filled with crutches. My office will be filled with hospital vans, because my God is breaking things off of people. The fragrance of the oil rests upon us, and it's the oil that breaks the yoke. But besides all of those great miracles, I want to remind you of something. When I talk about overlooking miracles, it's because of this point. I preached this about 2 years ago, titled The Miracle of a Change. And as a young boy, and even really early into my Christian walk, I could never understand why the very first miracle Jesus performed was turning water into wine. Why? Something so trivial. You're Jesus. You can heal Lazarus. I would have started with that. I'm just going to be honest with you. You may be holier than me, and you may would have started out small. But if I was Jesus, and I'm glad I'm not, I would have started out big. you would have known that Jesus had arrived on the scene, amen? But that's not what he did. He come in and he turned water into wine. Why was that the first miracle? Because I believe it's still the greatest miracle. How only Jesus that could take something that was so dirty and so just religious. To talk to you, and I know I'm trying to speed this up, but in this sermon, it is believed that the pots of water that Jesus turned into wine were for purification. It was a Jewish custom to wash the hands and the feet of your guests as they came in, and many scholars would believe that it was this water that Jesus took to turn it into wine. Why does that matter? Because the greatest miracle is still that, and how Jesus in his find in his wisdom and everything that he does can take something so dirty, something so tied up in religion, and not only can change it to wine, but change it to the best version of itself. See, the miracle of change is still going to be the greatest miracle that has happened in this place. Seven salvation will not go unnoticed in this house, because we still celebrate that lives are being changed by God. But I must warn you today. You say, well, here we go. Yes, here we go. It is costly. What makes perfume so costly? If you Google it, what will come up is this. It says the higher the concentration of oil, the higher price the perfume is. But it is that oil that allows the fragrance to stay longer. As the oil has already broken loose in this place, can I tell you it is a costly oil? It costs us a lot to get there. It costs some of you a lot more than it costs me. But it was a costly oil that we have to steward it. We cannot let it go to waste. See, as quick as we have stepped into it, we can choose to step out of it. But we must remain good stewards of the oil. I stole this phrase from RTTN's worship song. The first point is we won't forget how to carry the ark. If you go back to the story of David when they were carrying this ark, they meant well. They were trying to get the ark back, but they didn't have the foresight to go before them, and somebody reached out and they touched it and they were slain and they mishandled the spirit. And I don't have time to get onto that. I think you know the story, so just go with me. We won't do that. We won't mishandle the anointing. We won't mishandle the costly oil that we have been given to steward. We are going to be faithful in it. We're going to make sure that God receives all glory. Man can receive no glory from this. And I'll be honest with you, there's no way that man will receive glory for it, because it's going to be so crazy, so awesome, that no one but God can get the glory. But I needed to tell you today, when it happens, it's already happened. It's happened in the early service already. It'll happen in this service in the altar call. What I'm telling you today is when that happens, we have to be stewards of it. You can't walk out of that doors and just say, and I know, hear my heart, we're going to say, man, what a day at Forward Church. And I'm thankful that Forward Church is chosen, that was chosen to host it, but it is not Forward Church that gets the credit for what God is about to do in this place. I am thankful that we are good stewards of it, and you can brag on our church about being good stewards of it, but we cannot receive the credit for what the oil is about to set free in this place. Lastly here, you don't get to choose who is at the table. And if you go back to this story here at the anointing at Bethany, first off, let me just say this. I looked up what Bethany means in the Bible. It's the house of affliction. The house of pain and testing. But it is also where this oil was broken free from. But see, here at this house of Bethany, you find at least three main characters, four technically counting Jesus, but you find four characters or four people. I shouldn't call them characters. They're not just some Bible story, but you know what I'm saying. First off, you find Lazarus. Why is Lazarus important here? Because Lazarus represents the miracles. Lazarus here represents that there is still a miracle-working God that is in our presence. We sing a song that says, resurrection power flows in our veins. See, it really, if it flowed in our veins, I can most assuredly tell you resurrection power flowed in Lazarus' veins. Everywhere he went was a testimony. Everywhere he went was a testimony to what God has done. And I'll just go ahead and say this, this is in my notes. I decree to you that wherever you go will be a testimony of God's miracles too. But then there's also two other people here that we need to focus on. First is Judas. Judas was at this table. And that'll make a lot of Christians, that'll make a lot of religious people very mad. Why in the world was Judas getting front row access to such a powerful move of the Spirit? Can I tell you, it's going to happen. There is going to be Judases in our place. There's going to be Judases in the house. There are going to be those who are not there to worship. There's not going to be there. There's going to be those there that are not here to partake. They're just here to complain. They'll complain that the music's too loud. They'll complain that it's too cold. They'll complain that the service ran too long. They'll complain. Just be okay with it. Jesus didn't take him and just say, Judas, go away. You're going to complain. Judas said, you just stay put and watch what happens. You're going to have to be okay with the Judases being able to see the things that we see. But what I really want to focus on here with Judas was that he had a choice. Judas here was left with a choice. He could have chose to be a participator that day. He had in his own power, in his own might, he could have chose to take that of a worshiper. And he could have chose to move and flow in the oil that was being released because the fragrance filled the room. There was no one in the room that was not under the understanding that the oil was there. Judas knew very well that the oil was present, but he chose to sit there. Matter of fact, if you would read Mark's account of this story, right after this is when he decided to betray Jesus. So reason, but if you just dot the I's and cross the T's, it's a good assumption to say that while this woman is worshiping him, Judas is plotting his very betrayal of Jesus. And you can do the same. You can sit in these church services and you can see people being set free and you can see people being delivered. And you can sit there all the while and be planning your own demise, really. We won't get into what happened to Judas, but he was planning his own demise. But then there was Mary. There was awesome Mary who understood the season that was upon her. There was Mary who had enough sense, enough spirituality, enough time in her prayer closet to recognize that now's the time. That now is the time for the oil to be poured. See, she had this anointing box. She was just waiting for the moment for it to be released. If you'll stand today, the question in lies, who will you be? Will you be like Judas, who says, it's just going to make a mess? It's going to. It hurts my OCD heart so bad that it's going to be messy. But lives are going to be changed. Bondages are going to be broken. People will be saved. What's a little bit of a mess in that moment? Are we going to be like Judas and focus on the negative, or are we going to be like Mary that says, I want to be a part of this. I want to sit at the feet of Jesus. If there's oil that's going to flow, I want to be in the middle of it. The truth of the matter today, though, it is your choice. I cannot Pastor Justin cannot. Your wife, your husband cannot make you partake. We're about to have an altar service, and the altar call is simply this. Which one are you? If you're Judas, it's not too late. Matter of fact, Jesus teaches us in the parable of the workers that there was one who worked 8 hours a day, and I'm paraphrasing here, don't quote me on the numbers, but there was one worker who worked an 8-hour work day, there was one who worked a 4-hour work day, and there was one who worked a 1-hour work day. But when it come time to get paid, they all received the same. You may not have been here for the season of preparation, and I hear you, and you think that you are going to miss out. Well, Pastor Brandon, I wasn't here 6 years ago when the building burned. I wasn't here for that. It doesn't matter. The other people has paid your price for you. We're all going to reap the benefits of it. Don't be bitter about it. Be thankful that God chose you to fuel it. When Elijah stood on top of Mount Carmel, he issued basically a test. He said, how long will you tarry between two opinions? Either A, my God is God, or B, your God is God, but they both can't be God. And he challenged them. And I'm going to be very careful in this moment because I am not challenging God, but I would believe that God would say in this moment, need him to prove himself to you, he will. It's not that we're challenging his power and his might. He's simply a God who answers. We've already sung about it. When Thomas was doubting, he specifically asked Jesus to show him his scar so he would believe. I believe today that if you don't understand what's going on, today can be that day. But also there's another group of you today. There are Marys already in this house that understand the season that we are in. Hear me today, not stepping into, not what's going to come in the next couple of weeks. It has already arrived. The oil already flows. The fragrance of the oil already fills this house. But are we going to be stewards of it?